On this week's Widnes Rugby Chat, we sit down with Australian duo Ben Condon and Morgan McWhirter to talk about life in Widnes, teammates and Super League. Then we have the usual post-match chatter following the Vikings win away at Sheffield, a debate over the player pool and the impending changes that will affect Widnes and the Championship as a whole. And then we look ahead to the weekend's game against Batley and the rest of our Championship predictions. You both played together in Australia. Did you have any say in Ben coming here or?
Yeah, well, we did play together in Australia. We met probably like 6 years ago now when we first were at the Cowboys. We lived together for a bit there and then stayed mates and played together at Mackay. But yeah, Benny reached out to me and just sort of was sussing out how it was all going over here. And I just said, I'm loving it really. And put in a couple of words to Al, and next thing you know, he's over here and living with me. So that's been really good.
You've obviously been over in France for a little while. How have you found the move from Australia to Europe and how's that changed your life in some ways?
Yeah, obviously it's super different. Like it's been an eye-opener. Like France was a massive eye-opener. Like it was something I'm glad I did, but the end goal was always to try and get over here. So ended up being just a good sort of stepping stone while it would have been the off-season. So it worked out really well. And yeah, since coming here, I've sort of found myself enjoying my footy a lot more and playing alongside, but yeah, just the quality of the football and playing with guys that sort of know and obviously being speaking the same language helps a lot. So, yeah, it's been awesome. I've enjoyed it. I'm keen to stay over here for as long as I can at the moment.
Did you pick up any French? Sorry, mate.
A little bit.
Talking about the French league, how is the standard compared to the Championship? A lot of supporters often ask that question when mid-season's comes and then you see players make that transition over. Is it quicker over here? Is it?
Yeah, it's obviously super dependent on the comp. I think the biggest problem with the comp there is the difference between the best and the worst. Is like some weeks you can go out and it feels like you're playing against school kids, and then the next week you go out and you're playing against quality sides. Like there's a few teams there over there, like I'd say Carcassonne and Albi, and even maybe Pierre. That I feel like if they were playing this competition, they wouldn't be sitting dead last or nothing like that. Like they're pretty strong sides, but it's just the yin and the yang, I suppose. It's not as conceived. Like this comp is, it's obviously not wide open, but anyone can beat anyone. It's that sort of standard where, yeah, I think the only difference between speed there is the refereeing over there is pretty below par. There's obviously some bad calls that get called over here, but over there it's pretty bad. So, yeah, no, it's definitely different. Their French style is a lot different. It's a bit more sort of flamboyant, like they sort of just throw the ball around and hope for the best, but yeah, I'll definitely, it feels a little bit more like playing at home here. I definitely enjoy it a lot more.
Ben, is it your first time away from home playing?
First time sort of away from home internationally. I moved out of home probably a week after I finished school in grade 12 in Australia. So I've been away from the oldies for about probably 6-7 years now, but this is definitely the biggest move away from them I've done.
And you came close to coming over here and signing for Lee last year. Was it always a case you were going to come over here eventually, do you think?
Yeah, I think it was always a goal of mine to come over here. And obviously, at the end of last year, it fell through for a particular reason. So I think I just sort of ended up back at home with the local team in Coote Cup, Central Queensland Capras. Very grateful for them taking me sort of on such short notice. They really looked after me and were more than willing sort of to release me to come over here sort of midway through their season two. So I'm very grateful to Lionel Harbin, who's a coach there, for just, he's probably nothing but the best support for me to come over here.
What's it like for you two then, you're part-time players, you train here a few times a week, play at a weekend, and the rest of the time, like, what are you doing? Like, how are you finding it?
Yeah, well, we're both actually doing a bit of work at the moment, just keeping busy. Andrew, one of the board members here, is helping us out. We're just doing bits and pieces, a little bit of labour and stuff here, but it's only sort of 2-3 days a week. So helps us earn a little bit of extra cash and, not so we're not sitting on our asses all day playing PlayStation, which is what we'd be doing. But yeah, it's good, keeps us busy. There's some camaraderie around the boys that we work with. There's a good crew of lads there and that. But yeah, obviously, I'm sure Ben's the same. Like the end goal is to either be playing in the Super League with Widnes or who knows what happens. But yeah, at the moment, I'm pretty stoked with where I'm at.
Have you managed to explore the local area? Plenty of
Wetherspoons down the end of the road from my place.
Cheap drinks, easy access.
Yeah, mate.
Just with you saying then, Ben, about the journey from the Q Cup, how have you found that transition into the English League? What's the similarities and differences in terms of the competition from that?
I think both competitions are very quality sort of competitions. I think both are good. I reckon the speed's probably a bit slower here, but the physicality's more. I think there's a lot got to probably be smarter where you run in towards, because you're just going to get belted and there's going to be four blokes and a tackle. So I found that out pretty quickly against Oldham I was on my back getting a bit of a facial, but I've really enjoyed the transition over here and just playing football over here, especially for Widnes.
Are there any other players in the teams that you played so far or in the rest of the championship that you already know as well?
There's heaps. There's a big crew at York. Like, we used to play together with Jesse D and Ada Hingano back at home, and guys like Scott Galliano I played with at Sunshine Coast Falcons last year. And there's guys scattered all over the comp, and it's sort of, there's some guys that come over here and that don't adapt to it, and then you see guys like them who are, they're good players at home, don't get me wrong, but they come over here and just go to another level, and it must be the way the game's played. It suits them better because it is now with the new rules. Like, as Ben was saying, the ruck speed at home, if you're not fast and agile, like, I'm a normal size middle at home and then I come over here and I look like a bit of a pipsqueak because I'm a bit leaner, because like the ruck speed's so much faster at home. You have to be fit and fast, otherwise you're just not going to sort of get picked pretty much.
Yeah. I guess that's right. Well, Ben, when you first came over, Alan was talking about playing you more as a middle, largely because we had a lot of back rows at that time. Have you found it tough as a result of that physicality in the middle, like even tougher than maybe you thought?
Yeah, definitely. I think I was just open or wherever. So Alan wanted me to play, but over the past probably 2-3 seasons, I pretty much just played on the back row. So it wasn't anything sort of new, but I've always had played in the middle too. So I was up for the challenge, but I'm pretty happy that I'm not in the middle, to be honest.
And you started getting a few tries as well. So they've been coming last few weeks.
Yeah, I've never scored this many tries in my life. So touch wood, hopefully they keep coming this weekend. So, yeah.
It's obviously been a difficult transition in terms of when yous have come into the club and the injuries. I think your first game, Ben, I think the two hookers ended up playing in the halves. How is that for you guys, playing in the middle, trying to learn and adapt to a new team, and a lot of the spine has been missing with our numerous different fullbacks?
Yeah, it's not easy. Like, we've got a team here to be sitting in the top six 100%, but when you've got your halfback, your captain, your hooker, and then your lock all get injured in the first 20 minutes against York, and then we've already got people sitting on the sidelines, it makes your life so much harder. So there's no continuity when you've got a different spine every week. And obviously, for someone like me, like, it doesn't matter a whole lot. Like, my job is to tackle and run. But for someone like Ben, who hasn't played a game, then he's got a hooker as his half, it obviously makes his life a lot harder. And I ended up having to play in the back row against Halifax and against York just due to injuries. And, like, I've played a fair bit of footy there, but not doing any training there or anything there again. I made some silly mistakes. Obviously, I could have probably fixed that, but not doing any reps with any of the boys around me, it obviously makes it a lot harder. So, yeah, if we can stay injury-free, like, obviously the rest of the season, we've got a pretty decent run where I think if we get some continuity together and string some games together, like, who knows what could happen. But moving forward, even into the next season, if we can just hold a side together for at least 10 weeks, then we've got the team to do it. It's just a matter of having guys in the park.
How's it been for you guys settling in with lads here? Obviously, you have a lot of lads here, Widnes lads. There's obviously English players who are going to work all day and they come to training. Do you two guys get a bit of stick, or do the other Australian guys get a bit of stick for coming over?
The boys love a bit of that. That's why I love it here, to be fair. Like, my first day here, I was played golf with the boys and then went to Aintree with the boys in the afternoon, so I didn't really have any time to sort of warm up to anyone. I was coughing some stick straight off the thing for my accent and just for the way I was carrying on after a few pints. So, yeah, no, it's the boys are super, like, even compared to home, we were talking about it, like, usually you've got that warming up period wherever you go. Like, I've been to a fair few clubs since I've become a professional, and everywhere sort of takes some time usually to get your sort of crew of mates. But I was over at Gilly's backyard having a cup of tea with him 3 days into living here. So it's like everyone's just super welcoming, and it's sort of like if you can cop a little bit of a banter on the chin, you're right, you get on for the boys.
You just mentioned Gilly there. Obviously, he's one of the leaders in the team. Who else? Who are then leaders in the dressing room that have kind of, when you've come in, welcomed you, embraced you and helped you settle into the club? Who are then people that you look at in the changing rooms?
Yeah, there's a good crew of the boys. Like, obviously, Jack's a big leader in the club. He's our captain. And we've got Gilly, who's obviously our halfback for most of the time, who's a great voice and he's got that experience. And then we've got guys like Foz has helped me and Benny out quite a lot. Like when I first got here, he chauffeured me around a little bit and helped me out around and he's helped Benny out a bit. So yeah, there's those guys. And you've got someone like JJ who's got a lot of experience and is a bit of a larrikin, but when he wants to come to game time, like his head's on. So now there's a good crew of boys there. You've got plenty of guys like Drags and we've got a lot of experienced lads. So for younger guys like us, we've just got to take some of their words of wisdom and not tell them to go away.
How have you found the facilities here, you know, both playing and the training facility?
Yeah, I was honestly really surprised when I came over here. I think probably compared to sort of Queensland Cup standards of the different clubs I've been to, it's probably better than most of the ones other clubs I've been at, just with the gym facilities, stadium, especially the crowd. This is obviously the first time I've sort of been over to the UK and it really got me up when I can hear the witness chant and hearing some songs about a few of the boys. So
I think you've got one already, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't actually quite hear it, but yeah, I heard sort of my name in there and hoping it was a bit positive. So yeah, but no, I think that's something cool. Sort of, I wish probably Australian supporters did it because it really makes you want to play even more for, I suppose, your community, your town. So yeah.
Did you guys know much about Widnes before you came over? I guess we're probably of the gen. Widnes were a big club 30, 40 years ago, being in a little bit Super League in the last 10, 20 years, but perhaps not as big as they were. Did you two guys know much about the club before you came?
No, not really, to be honest. Like, as I said, I was in France and the goal was to try and get over it, but I wasn't sure in what capacity that was going to be. I was sort of just hoping, see, I was playing. I got injured over there, so I thought that it sort of was going to end up, I was going to have to go home and go back into the Queensland Cup. But yeah, when I found out that there was some conversations going on here, I was pretty stoked and I looked into obviously some of the history of the club and I couldn't believe it. I had a strength and conditioning coach who helped me get to France that was with me at the Blackwall who played here in the Super League in the early 2000s.
Who was that?
Oh, why is it? Lee Patterson.
Oh, Lee Patterson, yeah.
Yeah. Paddo, that couldn't get it. But yeah, he helped me out and I asked him about it and he had good things to say about it. And then, yeah, so I didn't really know too much, but like this club's got quite a lot of history and the way you hear fans talking about it, just even some of the lads at work, like they talk to us like we're a bunch of kids the way that where we're playing it now. So obviously I'd love to see the club get back to where it should be and it's just going to be, obviously, it's not an overnight fix. That's what I think people need to understand. It's going to be a process, but if everyone sort of buys in, then we've definitely got the people to back in us that we can do it.
I suppose it's... Sorry, Matt, what?
As players playing in the middle, obviously, you're carting the ball, and it's controversial, isn't it, the pitch? Some like it, some don't. How do you find playing on the 3G?
Yeah, it's rubbish. That's like, in all seriousness, if they want to have more players on the park from injury, they need to get rid of that.
And that's one of the things that people say, and obviously, us... We don't know that, but it's interesting to know that first time from you guys.
Yeah, it's just for us at home.
Yeah,
you wouldn't even train on it. Like it's not, we don't need it. I don't know why. It's obviously for maintenance reasons. That's probably the reason why they've got it. But
you've not been here in the winter yet. It's largely for training in the winter, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure it's helpful there. But as a player, it's not nice taking a carrier and going head first into the AstroTurf. I could tell you that for free.
I've got a few cuts all over me. It's the first time I've ever played on it or even touched probably foot on it. So, I haven't hated it, but I definitely do prefer a grass pitch.
Yeah. It's good for rock speed. It makes the game faster. Yeah. But, I think just even small impacts, it just makes everything a lot harder than what it could be.
Do you feel it a lot the day after? Do you feel like you feel it more from playing on that sort of surface than you would playing on grass?
Probably a little bit. More so just feels like I've fallen off my skateboard when I was about 12 years old. That's what it feels like. You have burns all over you and it's just, it's not ideal, but it's also not bad. Like I'm not sitting here complaining about it. It is also it's a great stadium. Like for being in championship, having the stadium we've got, and as Ben was saying, the facilities that we have, like it's hard to complain. We've got it pretty good, so...
Obviously, as Australian players, it's a lot different over here in terms of the way Super League's set up and the I don't know, I'm going to ask you this, how much do you know about how it works with Super League and Championship, and do the players ever discuss about the prospects of Widnes going into Super League?
I don't know too much, to be fair. Like, I obviously know the promotion relegation sort of stuff, the new stuff that's going on with the whole 14 teams, I haven't really looked into it too much. Like, it's obviously got to do with financial stuff, which is way above my pay grade. But yeah, no, I'm not too sure. It's just, hopefully I'll just play good footy and then eventually we might get there and see what happens. Yeah.
And Ben, what about you? I guess is Super League the goal for you for next season?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of my ambitions I also want to get to. So, yeah, hopefully I'm just play good football and then, yeah, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I'll just, yeah, I'll put my best foot forward. But, yeah, I don't really know too much. I sort of know, like, about the promotion, relegation and stuff like that. I'm not... I sort of understand, obviously, the top teams go through and the bottom teams... get relegated, but that's probably from playing Rugby League Live 4 and sort of just seeing different teams in Super League every year. So I think obviously that's got its benefits and sort of disadvantages too. So probably some teams that have off year and then probably shouldn't be getting relegated, whereas others that, yeah, sort of thing, where probably obviously it all just comes down to money, like most things. So.
Is it the, you know, like, we obviously have loan players and dual reg players coming into the team. I guess that's quite common in Australia. Is it in the Queensland Cup where you've got the NRL players maybe dropping in for a game or two? So is that something that you guys are used to, having maybe different faces around?
Yeah, definitely. I think we were both sort of those sort of loan players when we were playing at Mackay Cutters together. So we'd train up at in Townsville with the Cowboys main squad sort of Monday to Thursday and then fly down to Mackay Friday, do their captain's run and then play with them either home Saturday or fly out with them to wherever they're playing on the Saturday. So I think, yeah, it's nothing we're not used to.
And I guess the travelling's, the games are a lot closer in England than they are in Australia, I guess.
It's good and then it's bad at the same time. Like, I was at the Sunshine Coast, as I was saying before, and I went back, I got a release and went back to Blackhawks mid-season last year and sort of wanted to go back just because you get lots of away trips, because you get that flight away and you get to stay away on the Saturday night. So it makes the team a bit closer, everyone's closer together and you get to have a night out here and there. But yeah, it's nothing to complain about. You only got a 45-minute drive. It makes it a bit handy. You're getting a bit more of a sleep in, so it's not too bad.
It'd be rude not to ask why we've got two Australians on the podcast, but the Ashes at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's done.
Not really? 3-0?
Not even 5-0.
You managed to get to any of them before you had home for Christmas?
I don't know if I'll be able to get home for Christmas. I'm not too sure. I haven't really planned anything yet. I haven't looked at the flights. It doesn't look too cheap, so might have a white Christmas over here, see what happens. I'm not too sure, mate.
Well, you're on contract for next year, aren't you?
So, yeah.
Yeah, you might. Depends what the weather. You have a look at the weather forecast maybe first. But yeah, there was interesting snow last year. Rugby League 26, have you got that yet on the PlayStation?
Yeah, actually, I downloaded it the other night and was giving it a bit of a run. So
Morg's on, isn't he? I've seen him.
He's looking pretty handsome on it. They've done him pretty some justice.
Oh, I know, I haven't played it yet. I don't even know what it'll look like.
What do you guys hope for the rest of this season then?
Win games. Just got to win. That's all it comes down to. Everything else will take care of itself before we win. So
game at a time.
That's it. Like, there's no point looking too far ahead. Like, as I said before, our run, we had a pretty tough sort of draw for the mid-season there, like playing all the top teams twice sort of, so it doesn't make it easy, especially with those injuries. But, yeah, if we win, then all the problems go away, don't they? So let's win and hope we keep winning.
What teams have impressed you the most that you've played so far?
To be fair, like, the best teams are usually the teams we play the best against. Like, York in that game, if the circumstances weren't the way they were, like, we had them on the edge for a pretty good period of that game. And then Toulouse, obviously, we got the job done there. And then my first game at Bradford, we played pretty awful, to be fair. And we were up for the 70 minutes of the game. And then Bradford on the weekend, sort of similar deal. We were in the grind, but we just couldn't complete any good ball. If we completed some sets, and I think we could have easily won that game. And then, but for me, like, sort of, I think York, the way that they came back after that start and sort of just took control of the game. It's got some pretty classy players in that team. Obviously, they've got some older guys like McShane and Thompson, and then they've got the Australians and then guys like Pingano, and they've got a pretty classy outfit. So I think they'll probably be the team to beat looking forward, I reckon.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks very much for joining us.
No worries.
Good to see you. Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
See you, mate. See you later.
Thanks, So thanks again to Ben Condon and Morgan McWhirter for their time in speaking to myself and Mike. I wasn't at the Sheffield game last week. It was my daughter's christening. But Mike, you were there, and it was a case of just getting the job done for Widnes, wasn't it? And getting them 2 points that they much needed.
Yes, yeah, that's what it was in the end. The first half, it wasn't pretty by any means. You could tell two sides struggling for confidence. And, you know, to the side who won, it was about getting that victory on the board and kicking on from it. The first half, Widnes, in terms of the pack going forward, we did really well. Probably the most we've rolled the team, to be honest, this season. You know, I've spoke on the podcast about our middle struggling to dominate field position at times, but we certainly dominated that this week. It was just in that first half when we got into good ball areas, putting on set plays. The final pass was hitting the ground and not finding its man, and it got a little bit frustrating. But credit to the lads, you know, they scored right on half time, which was timely. And then second half, they stuck to the plan, it seemed, and they was playing to points on the field. And then, you know, we executed a couple of plays. You know, when you've got a player like Ben Condon in your back row, when obviously Adam Lawton, players like that, simplifying it. And if you find them on a one-on-one close to the try line, they're going to score. And, yeah, we got the job done. And that's the most important thing for us to hopefully try and kick on now and go on a run. Whether that means we'll make the playoffs or not is a different story. But you've just got to take it game at a time now, haven't you?
Yeah, I think you look at the games Widnes have got left. And, yeah, if you just take it week to week, win the next game and then see what's what. Because I think if you do string a few wins together, you can. I mean, I think look at Featherstone and Doncaster now. They're right on the tails of Oldham, which probably 6-7 weeks ago you would have thought would never have had any chance of happening. Important for Widnes to win at home to Batley on Sunday. Batley, a little bit of a write-off of a season for them, really. I guess they're saving a little bit of money. Changed the coach, of course, John Keir there. First time John Keir will have been back to Widnes, especially given the home form, it's crucial Widnes win this week.
It is, and what if we won 2 games at home this season? It's not been good for the home support, you know, and obviously trying to get people into your stadium to boost your attendances. So I think a win in that respect will be really important for the fans. Turning one win into two, it gives players confidence and momentum. And going into these games, you don't know what's going to happen. The one thing about this championship, we try and predict the games towards the end of the podcast, but it is a competition where shot results do happen. And what Widnes have got to put themselves in the position of now is, if teams are going to slip up, we're there doing our job and see where it takes you.
Yeah, I suppose the big cloud hanging over everyone now is just what's actually going to happen. We're recording this before. There's a meeting of Championship clubs and League One clubs on Wednesday to discuss what the makeup of the league's going to be. Of course, there's that possibility of Super League, although it would seem very unlikely that Widnes will be in Super League. Still some murmurings going around. The talk at the moment is that clubs 13 and 14 won't be afforded any central funding, or at least minimal central funding, which you would have to say surely rules Widnes out. Because if Widnes were to, even if Widnes were to finish 13th or 14th in the IMG grading, I mean, look, Widnes are struggling. Well, the perception is Widnes struggled to find extra funds to recruit in the Championship. How on earth would they be able to do it in Super League? And is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and look, that's exactly why I said last week we wouldn't be in that conversation. I don't see us quite making the 12 in terms of the IMG scoring, no matter how much we improve. And then the teams 13th and 14th, you know, there's been a couple of podcasts. Chris Radlinski's been on, Carl Fitzpatrick's done a bit on Sky as well, and I think the bits that I've gathered about them the 13th and 14th spot is you've got to be in a position where you've got to be able to fund it and have a good crack at it yourself. And the one thing that we don't have at the moment is that benefactor, you know, that wealthy owner to step in and put forward £1 million or £800,000. And obviously where we are in the Championship at the moment speaks volumes of that. But speaking about the wider rugby league world, everybody seems confident, don't they? Salford, there's murmurings that they're confident about staying in. Toulouse are confident. York are confident. Bradford are confident. And you can only assume there's going to be some disappointed teams and some teams that haven't quite planned to be in the division that they actually end up in.
Yeah, because I suppose if you're a York and, you know, they've already signed Paul Vaughan and York are going full-time next season regardless of what division they're in, if you're York or Bradford, whoever, you've got to recruit with Super League in mind now, because if you're thinking you've got half a chance, you can't wait until October to get the okay, because clearly the pool of players is going to be shorter. The quota situation helps with that, of course, because let's get it right, you could probably find 10 ready-made players to come over and play in Super League. It'd be a lot harder if there was only 7 of them. Ben Condon on the podcast this week, a prime example of a sort of player that you would expect would walk in, would get a Super League deal next year.
100%, and I think, you know, like, there are a couple of them players in the Championship that will probably look to take the step up if they're offered it. But I think also what you're going to see is you're going to obviously see an influx, aren't you, from the Queensland Cup, and players who might just stay in Australia might now actually look at it and think, well, actually, there is a career and there is an opportunity over in the Super League and the English leagues. Where it concerns me is you're going to be getting the academy, the teams that run academies well, they're going to get cherry-picked, and I think you're going to see some players being taken by lower Super League clubs on bigger money, and is that going to harm their development? Obviously, the academy situation's a bit of a mess in this country as it is.
That was a question on the Chris Radlinski podcast, wasn't it, where they were sort of saying a player that might be player 21, 22, 23 at Wigan, who may not come through the academy, will now be getting offered big money to go somewhere else to clubs who are looking for players to improve their squad.
And I think from a witness perspective, if you're trying to tag on towards the end of that photo, it's going to make your recruitment harder, because player contracts are going to be inflated. Mm. And obviously, you know, if you don't have a rich benefactor, the higher the wage bill goes for players and the standards still stays the same, ultimately the pond that you're trying to fish in and the part-time pool, you're going to be getting less for your buck, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I guess like, say, using Wigan as a random example, if players 21, 22, 23 end up getting signed by Bradford, then that means players 27, 28, 29, who probably previously would have been available for, say, like Widnes, would now become players 21, 22, 23 almost. I suppose on the flip side of that, it could go the other way in terms of, we were talking about John Bennison before, as an example, a Super League team might look at him and think, well, we know we can get an Australian for cheaper than what he wants, so then players like him become available maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's all guessing, isn't it, at the moment? We don't know. That it'd be a great start knowing who the teams actually are and what Widnes' divisions are going to actually look like. But it is going to be fascinating how the market kind of opens up. John Bennison is probably a prime example of a player where he might not be at St. Helens next year, but how bigger is offers from other Super League clubs going to be? Or is he going to actually think, you know what, part-time is the best way to go? Who knows?
Will Roberts is another one in that conversation, I guess, where you're looking at players who are off contract. And I suppose this leads me on to a wider discussion about Widnes' recruitment, is how much do you feel like Widnes are able to almost say, here's 3-4 players in each position that we want to target and get? Or is it literally a case, it certainly feels it's a little bit of the case of you've almost just got to see what's available, and if they fit, they fit.
Yeah, I think there's going to be, look, I don't really mix in them circles in terms of, you know, players and their agents when they decide to do deals and stuff like that. But you can only assume, trying to put yourself in that position, you know, if your contract's up, you're going to be waiting as a player to see what your best offers are. And when a league structure isn't decided properly, or what teams are going to be in there, it's very difficult for them players to make a call on their future as well. And obviously that has a knock-on effect. Regarding Will Roberts, I was highly hopeful that he would be one of our halfbacks next year. But let's face it, James, a lad, what is he, 20-year-old? He's come through the St. Helens system. There's 14 Super League teams both play with two halfbacks and then most have a spare. If you're a team going into Super League and you want to take a punt on a player who's potentially got something to offer, surely somebody like Will Roberts would be a perfect person to give a 1 year deal to see where he can go in the top flight.
Well, I think there's clubs as well that might take a punt on him because he'll be low wages and as a third choice or a fourth choice option. There's a little bit of talk about apparently the reserves competition is going to be a lot more structured next season as well, which again hampers Widnes's recruitment hopes, because if Warrington reserve teams are playing every week, then they might not feel the need to dual reg players out or loan players out. And I suppose because ultimately Widnes are competing for players ultimately want, the majority of players want to stay full time. If you've got the opportunity to stay full time or earn a full time living, you would probably prefer to stay at that.
Yeah.
Clearly, Widnes will have players who might not fancy full time because they've got a better career somewhere else. But by and large, the player pool you can split into players who are either full time or who desire to be full time, and then players who are happy to play part time. And there's plenty of part time players, especially at the Yorks clubs, who go round and round. Is there realistically anything Widnes can do about that? I'm not sure that there is.
No, I think this is just, look, people have criticised the way it's been dealt with, the league structure, it being too late. Some people saying that the league structure is fine, but it should be 2027 to give clubs a chance to prepare. And it's not all about the teams that are going up or the teams that potentially might be coming down. You know, it does have a massive domino effect and it does seem very rushed. I think the reserve competition, from my point of view, I'd love to see that improve. You know, I think it's needed to improve for the wider game, but that doesn't help Widnes's case. I suppose one thing that does is with two teams, potentially three, I hope three, because I hope Salford aren't in it, not because I don't have anything against Salford, but the way it's been run this year, I think it'd be quite farcical if they was allowed to keep their position in the Super League, mainly because they'll have to recruit a brand new squad as well. So you might as well give another club another chance who's been building. But you've got potentially three clubs going into Super League, and that's going to open up a player pool. And I think if you're Widnes, clubs like Widnes, you know, you're going to be waiting to see what type of players come up, and there's going to be a late bidding war for them teams.
Do you think the reserves competition is worthwhile? I only ask this because, take Salford for instance. I mean, Salford's probably a bad example this year, but I see people saying, oh, them players shouldn't be playing, and I'm a bit like, well, you know, even Warrington as an example, they signed Matteson, didn't they? And Matteson had a very good game against Lee last week. Instead of playing one of the, you know, let's say Tom Whitehead, someone like that. Like, isn't that an argument to say, well, what's the point in having reserves if when one of your first team players go down, you're not going to play them anyway? Do you understand what I mean? Because then all of a sudden, if the reserves competition is stronger, take Warrington and St. Helens as an example, they'll be sat on 20 extra players that would otherwise become available to play first team for Widnes. And I think that's where I have an issue with the reserve system.
Yeah, I'm going to, one of your ideas, James, that you said a while back, which actually the more I think about it, you know, the more I liked it, is, you know, maybe being a bottom couple of League One teams, putting them in the reserve competition. I think if you're going to do it, that's the way to go. Like, whether we're going to have an East and West conference or it's going to be one league next year, Newcastle Thunder, for example, playing teams like Widnes, Sheffield, Batley, they're getting scores of 50 or 60 run past them anyway, and I don't think that helps develop them clubs. And I think we were saying last week, wasn't we, about the Championship maybe getting brought down to more towards League One rather than elevating the competition. And I think if it was to work, I think that'd be the way to do it until some of them teams was ready to step out of it.
Going back on to the recruitment again, I've seen a few comments from people about the current squad and the retentions, and we talked a little bit last week about how, was it 15, 16 are already on contract for next season. Such is the uncertainty, surely that's why clubs have got to retain big percentages, because it's a huge gamble otherwise. If you were to say, right, we're only going to retain 6, 7, 8 players, you've almost got no hope of predicting what 17, 18 players are going to become available. And I think maybe that's something that people don't appreciate, is that it's all right saying, right, I don't think player X is a good re-signing, but you can't necessarily guarantee that you're going to find someone better than that player at the moment.
I've got to be honest, James, you've just hit me with that angle. And I've got to be honest, on my own and conversations with other people, I've never actually thought about it to this point. But when you think about it, you are right. The one thing I suppose that does offer you is stability of 18 players and 17, 18, whatever that may be. And then, you know, build your recruitment off that. And because like we've just covered, you know, the market is going to be very up and down and unpredictable. We could be getting to next year and that could be, it could be a useful tactic, potentially. Who knows?
And especially because you can't, it's not as if you can't move them up. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's not as if you've signed a player now for next season, that if in March, April time, if he's not playing, well, he's going to want to go and play somewhere anyway. And yeah, it's not as if, as witness, you would struggle to offload a player, as you know, as has been demonstrated, because there are teams worse off than witness. So that's why I don't get. I think I'm a lot calm. I would retain, there's probably not many of the current squad that I wouldn't retain for that reason, because I'm like, until someone can show me a better player than one of them that we've got, well, you're better off keeping them.
One thing we will have to do, though, is recruit props, because we don't have any to keep hold of, mate.
Well, I mean, that's that has been an issue. And, you know, and I get, you know, and to be fair, that's a... Probably an example of that with the prop situation with Riley and Kirk is obviously Alan Coleman made the decision to move them on. Yeah, there was the Luke Thomas situation that didn't help him. But the bottom line is that witness would have been stronger if they'd have retained them two players, regardless of. Yeah. And that, yeah, that's happened in the middle of the season. But it's almost the same conversation. You're almost having the same conversation now. If you were to let go of a player now or at the end of the season, there's no guarantee at the moment that you're going to be able to bring somebody in to replace them who's better.
Well, Luke Thomas, again, you mentioned him. He played brilliantly again at weekend. And what, 6-8 weeks ago, we maybe earmarked him as maybe a potential recruit for next year. Perfect age, not quite tagging on at Warrington. But again, 14-team Super League, everybody needs props. Surely he's going to get another deal somewhere, you'd think.
Yeah, well, I'm not 100% sure what his contract situation is. He was 18th man for Warrington on Friday, at least. Alan was commentating for BBC Radio Manchester. I was sat next to him. He probably hoping that Warrington didn't get the concussions, because, of course, if he'd have gone on, he wouldn't have been able to play for Widnes on the Sunday. That's the main takeaway, I think, from this discussion, is that it's hard enough at the moment to recruit players. I think, as much as I'm sure Alan would like to sit there and be like, right, these are our targets for these positions, the reality is that there's bigger fish swimming in the pond for a start. But there's also so many variables, and that's why, like I say, I think you want to retain what you've got and then add to it. And I've mentioned it, probably relating to the Widnes lads a bit more, where Adam Lawton as an example. Adam Lawton should just be in at Widnes forever. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, if he's the best back rower you've got, he's in the team. Yeah. But if you sign someone better than him, still keep him around, because the following season you might not have somebody better. And that's the way I look at it, because the pool's that small. And the whole part-time thing, you can't just cherry-pick players. Yeah, okay, now you could make the case, well, Widnes have started on this pathway of signing Australian players. Well, you could make the case of, well, maybe Widnes needs to bring in 6-7 Australian players. But the affordability of that, I don't know.
Yeah, and then maybe that is the way to go, James. Maybe it is a case, obviously, if it's affordable. Stuart Murphy would probably be the best person to ask about that. But maybe it is a case of recruit as many Widnes lads as you can for that core spine of your team. Obviously, if they've got to be good enough. And then maybe the Australian market and the French market, you know, players like Morgan, who seems to be loving his time over here, he's obviously got links overseas. Obviously, Jake Mason will do as well. And if they're enjoying the time at the club, maybe they are the moving parts that fit in around the core group of players that you'd have. And obviously, you add your Benties of the world into that as well.
I saw a comment by Tony Shaw recently, who's on this Vikings Voice panel if that's what we're calling it, with yourself.
We'll go with a panel.
And others. It's probably not the first time you've been called a panel.
It's probably the best thing you've been called, mate, to be honest.
But I've seen an interesting... And I think this is something that we have talked about before in the podcast, is one of the issues facing Widnes at the moment is, yeah, you've got Tom Gilmore, Jack Owens, Matty Fozard, Joe Edge now. But in 5 years' time, when those players aren't there, because don't forget, them players are sort of product of the academy era in Super League, aren't they? They came through in that, you know, when Steve O'Connor invested in the academy 2009, 2010, 2011, and it developed into Super League and producer players. That's not there now. And so in 4 or 5 years, when there's no Jack Owens and there's no Tom Gilmore and there's no Adam Lawton and there's no Joe Edge, George is quite a bit younger than the others, but that's a challenge for Widnes at the moment, is where is that next cohort of players going to come from?
100%, and I've been banging the drum the last 12 months about that, probably myself, getting older and maturing, and when you get a bit older and you start recognising, you know, things around you, and there was a group of people, and it split opinion when we was in Super League. We had a conveyor belt of players, and people used to say, I'm fairly so to a point, your best talent would move elsewhere, and we'd retain certain ones as well. But however you look at that from time gone by, those players we produce today are our better players today. You know, your Tom Gilmore, Matty Fozard come from the town, obviously come through Saints' system, Jack Owens, Tom Gilmore, Joe Edge. But you can go on and on and on, Ryan Ince. A lot of them players are Widnes' better players. And that's why Alan's so passionate about getting this youth development programme going. Now you've got to start from somewhere. And if you don't start now and give yourself a couple of years' time to get that pathway going again, you are going to be filling your team. All right, you might get some Widnes lads playing for you, but they'll be coming from your Saints and your Wiggins, and you will be taking players, you know, like the players we took at the start of this season. You'll be taking a group of players that are young, coming out of academy, not really playing men's rugby, and because you've not worked with them on a daily basis, you're going to be taking gambles of, are they going to be good enough? And that adds complexity to your recruitment then as well.
Well, I suppose we've already talked about how difficult recruitment is. If you look at that Widnes squad now and you take out all them Widnes products, so Owens, Gilmore, Lyons, Joe Edge, Lawton. If you take all of them players out, Ryan Ince, like, you take all them players out and think, who do we replace them with? Even if you were doing it now, it all of a sudden becomes a
challenge.
You know, it's a challenge because you're struggling to recruit players even when you've got that sort of core base of players to do so. So it's a challenge, but I suppose that's life, isn't it? And that's what Widnes, I guess, have got to get on with.
100%, and get on with it is the word, because the way the structure is, the way rugby league's going in this country, quota change, you know, everything we spoke about, you know, that's the second set of circumstances we've got for the next couple of years.
You obviously on the terraces more than me, certainly these days. What do you feel like's the general feel about the 14 teams and about the possibility of Championship League One merging? I'm only thinking from the point of view... Well, no, I'm thinking from two points of view. One, if Super League goes to 14 and there's no realistic hope of being promoted, at least in the short term, because we know that it will likely change. But also, two, from the fact that if it goes to this conference system that instead of... Well, we don't know this for sure yet, but instead of playing maybe Bradford, you're going to be playing Midlands, or instead of playing Halifax, you're going to be playing North Wales. Do you feel like there's any apathy towards that to the point that it might affect attendances?
Starting with the 14-team comp in the Super League, you know, personally, as a rugby league fan, not a Widnes fan, I don't mind the 14 teams in Super League as such, mainly because I don't like loop fixtures.
Yeah.
I think there's a way where we need to fit Magic Weekend in or do something with Magic Weekend, because, you know, quite rightly, as people have pointed out this week, that's one of the biggest periods of time we get television coverage and dominate. And you know, obviously the Sky deal, that's a massive, it's a massive factor in terms of the sport and needing to improve that. So taking them 2 days away, I think, is a problem. But the 14 itself, I don't mind. Also, I don't mind the 14 and the next 3 years not having promotion and relegation. I don't mind that either, because Stuart Murphy, the board, Alan, they might argue with me, and that's fair enough. But I don't think Widnes are ready for Super League. And to get there, we've got to build. So I think you've got to do that. What does concern me is what the Championship looks like next season, because I alluded to it last week. I don't want to be going to some of these stadiums where there's more Widnes fans than the home team, and it's a problem. And I don't, the one thing that the Championship does have is it's competitive, and quite a lot of the time it's very difficult to predict. And throwing two leagues together into one, you're running the risk of having quite a lot of blowout scorelines, and if you're separating it into conferences, you're not even going to have your witnesses, say, playing your Featherstones, and that is a massive problem for the clubs. The only good to come from it is you potentially play more games, so you get more income, but we're not 100% sure over that.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's look ahead to our predictions. I want to look at last week's, Mike, which is why I'm looking at my phone here, because I think I got a full house last week. Bradford, Featherstone, Doncaster, London. Oh, no, yeah, Widnes, York, yeah. So, what did you get? Oh, you went Barrow, didn't you? So, I've edged it back. So, now, if I've got a full house, I'm on 75 and you're on 76, so I'm on the comeback trail.
Yeah, you're playing down the hill at Batley, aren't you?
second half of the season. What are the games this week?
London and Toulouse, 1 o'clock kickoff at London.
Well, it's tough. It's tough, isn't it? Because London are again much better in the second half of the season than the first. They tend to recruit mid-season, but I think Toulouse will have too much for them.
Yeah, I go for Toulouse. I've got to be honest, James. You know, London, you have tipped them a couple of times, and they are picking up wins, aren't they?
But they've maintained the gap to Widnes, haven't they? Of course, Widnes won last week, and so did London. They're still only 4 points behind, and they're only one win and Widnes one defeat away from it being a bit hairy again. But then, if you look at the fixtures this week, Widnes could open up a 6-point.
Absolutely, and I'm sure that's going to be Alan Coleman's aim. It'd have been fascinating, actually, if Widnes and maybe had played London this week. It'd have been a real close tie.
I've never been worried. I know some people have got worked up about it. I've never really been worried about that bottom four, but I think, you know, the sooner you move away from it, the better, obviously.
Yeah. Halifax at home to Sheffield. I've got to steal the march on this, James. For as much as I praise Widnes, and we've come out of a difficult period, our injuries, struggling with confidence, I was looking at a Sheffield side on paper that should have been a hell of a lot better than what they was, and the way Widnes was rolling them in the middle, and if Widnes had been a bit more confident, I think we'd have won by more. And there's some serious goings on at Sheffield behind the scenes that me or you probably, you know, don't even know about, but you can just tell something's not right there. And yeah, I think for me, Halifax win at the show.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's at Bradford, isn't it? It's at Oddsall.
Yeah. Next one, Huntslet and York. I don't think we'll need too much discussion over that.
York will win that.
Yeah. Oldham at home to Barrow.
Well, it's Paul Crary's 350th game in charge of Barrow, which I believe is a club record. That's some going. I think Oldham. Oldham are now looking over the shoulder, like we said. You know, Featherstone and Doncaster just 2 points behind them. But I think Oldham will be too strong for Barrow.
Yeah, Barrow, I tipped them, didn't I, to beat London, let me down. Obviously, tipped them to beat Toulouse at home, let me down. So I've got to go with Oldham. Can't be an hat trick.
And then I'm going for Widnes to beat Batley.
Yeah, I'll go Widnes to beat Batley, and I think I missed out a Friday night
Bradford,
one as well,
is it?
Mate. So, yeah, Bradford at home to Doncaster.
This is a big one, Bradford, Doncaster. You saved the best to last, because Doncaster... Yeah. Have pulled up some really good results, but not only have they pulled up some good results, they've pulled up some good results away from home.
You've had London as your team that have got you some bonus points, and Doncaster have been that team for me where they've got me for some bonus points. But it's got to be Bradford, hasn't it?
Well, you've got me thinking now, because I could just play it safe and we'll just go 6-6 this week and I'll keep within a point. Or do I go out on a limb and say Bradford might and say Doncaster might beat Bradford? I was thinking this. If Oldham are in the conversation for Super League, should Doncaster be in the conversation for Super League? Because to me, aside from Oldham make a little bit more noise, is there a great deal of difference between them? Because the crowds are fairly similar. Doncaster have got a nice ground. They've got a fairly robust ownership by the football club. You know, I don't. They've spent a lot of time in the third tier, as have Oldham. For me, I'm a bit like, I look at Oldham, I look at Doncaster, and I just don't see what. Obviously, Oldham's location, maybe you'd have to say, is better, maybe. But I just sort of feel like if Oldham are in that conversation, why aren't Doncaster?
I understand that to a point. I mean, I'd say Doncaster's crowds are probably towards, you know, the, without looking at everyone's averages, towards the bottom end. I'd say that, and I think it comes back to a point that you made last week, actually, was about being in the moment, like old and the current, aren't they? And towards the top, and what they've been doing off the field. Whereas I feel Doncaster's recruitment, it's slightly on the ageing side, isn't it? Where you're looking at Oldham and you can see a bit of a transition. You know, they've recruited that team to win League One and now they're going through that change again. You know, players like Josh Drinkwater coming in, for example. You've got a PLT at the back. You know, there's a little bit in there where they're going after players and trying to bring that the age of the team down. Whereas I just look at Doncaster and I just think everything about them is that experienced part-time championship core, you know, like your Craig Halls and the South Sea Islanders are getting older. And I think I struggle to see a transition there at the moment with Doncaster. But look, I see a season or two of recruitment and they could easily be a top three, top two championship side without a shadow of a doubt.
I think it's good for Doncaster that they're establishing themselves in the championship. It took them a while to get out of League One, but I think there's certainly a championship size club and operation there. But let's going back to the game. I'm going to stick with Bradford.
I'm going to
bottle it and stick with Bradford.
So I've got at least one more week at the top.
You've got one more week. Thanks everyone for joining us this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Myself and Mike will be back next week with more. And please do subscribe on Spotify or YouTube or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the podcast. Drop a comment on the Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page or on Twitter, and we'll see you next time.